You are listening to BensTorah.com.
When you have a person who is a mavaker, a person who's doing bikur cholim, and a person who's sick, so the Gemara had two different hechatim says, who is usher to who when it comes to that relationship, and the Gemara had different opinions. In one case, the person who's the sick person was usher bahana. In the other case, the one who was the mavak is asa bahana. So who was the person who was what's called the mudar? The mudar is the person upon whom the isano is imposed. The mad is the person who places the isano out there. So the Gemara had different hechatimses of how you learn the din of bikur chayla. In today's daf, the one we're doing tonight, when it comes to this marim makom, you're going to have to see how the Ran interprets it, because unfortunately, the explicit statement mentioned on today's daf when it comes to bikur cholim is not as explicit when it comes to dealing with the mitzvah or refuos. I'm saying this as a forewarning, because even when I read the Gemara now, you're going to see very shortly, without the Ran, there's no way of understanding what the Gemara is talking about. Let me show what I mean inside. It says, Heichi Ketani. What is the meaning, you can marap a person, refuos a nefesh, not refuos a guf? Ilayim, if you means, the refuas hanefesh bechinam. That refuas hanefesh means you can basically give a person medical treatment without payment. And refuas hamaman means bischar, that you can't give a person medical treatment if you have to pay for it. If that's what the terms of the Mishnah mean, listni hachi, you could be more direct in what you're saying and say very simply, merapeya bechinam avalo bischar. Be marapa without a payment of services, but you can't receive payment b'schar. Now, once again, even if you read the Gemara, who's usher to who in this situation? So if you look on the Ran on the top of the page, all the way on top where it says, see in the text, refuas nefesh bechinam, the nefesh diktani, in this context, when it comes to nefesh, perusho, ratzo, which means you're doing something with the person's acquiescence, kedashchem im yesh es nafshechem, to do such and such, kolomar shemerapeyu beretzon libo, you cause the person refuos with his willingness to accept refuah, v'loy bischar, but you're not going to pay the person for the services being rendered, umesukme b'masnisen. What is the case that the Gemara's initial supposition is benichsei chola? Are asurin ararofe, that the one who made the isaned over here was the chola, the object, the person upon whom this iser neda was thrown, which means the one who is the mudar, is the rofe. So if the rofe halach lamasa cannot, could obviously derive any hana from the chola, so could obviously for him to be paid for services rendered would be a violation of the neder. So if that's the case, if the Rofa is the Mudin, he can't have any benefit from the Chola has no choice, nor does the Rofa, if they want to have a medical relationship, to receive the medical services without the Rofa being paid. Now, if that is the Pshat the Gemara says, and that's what you're referring to, so it means I can treat this person for nothing, but I can't treat them for payment, because if I treat for payment, the Rofe, who is the Mudahana, who has the Isano upon him, is getting a monetary benefit. So the Gemara said very simply, say Amarapa Bechinim and not Bischar. Now, instead of talking about it, talk about it, not about it, as they always say. So for this reason, the Gemara dismisses that Hechatimsa, and the Gemara says, now, what are we talking about? Back to the Gemara inside. Ella, it must be, Refuas hanefesh means I can treat the person medically when it comes to his gufo, his physical medical needs of his body. Refuas mamon is an allusion to behemto, I can't serve as the veterinarian when it comes to treating his animals. And upon that, the Gemara says, Omer azutur batuvia, Omer rav, avo oimele samploni yofelo, samploni rala. I might not be able to medically treat his animals as a veterinarian, but I can give medical advice. This medicine is good, this medicine is not good, as long as I'm not physically treating. Now, once again, you ask yourself the question, who's asur to who? So the Ran does not beat around the bush, and the Ran, go back to the third line of the Ran, sets up. We're now going to be learning very, very in-depth this Ran, Rabbi Yisai. When I say in-depth, you'll understand what I mean very shortly. El refuas refuas gufo, nefesh is gufo. Refuas nefesh means I can cure a person's body if they're sick, but I can't take care of their animal needs. Misukma, what is this part of the Gemara is Maskana referring to? Benichse Rofa Asurim Alachola. Where the person who's the doctor for some reason asid to have Hanoah from the Chola is the Mudar. The doctor is the Madir. So the person from whom, because obviously there's Isanot to receive Hanoah, is the Chola. This is the reverse of the previous supposition. So if that's the case, Umushim Hachi, La Yerapa Behemto. So since the Chola has Isa Hanoah upon himself, as well as his animal, the fact of the matter is, since there's a mitzvah to perform refuah, the doctor's mitzvah refuah allows him to treat the person's body, but there's no mitzvah for him to treat the person's animal. And over here, the Ron says something quite interesting. Kishiyesha Murofe, the assumption is that he's not the only doctor in this world. So therefore, if there's another doctor available on a human level, he can still treat the chayla. If there's another veterinarian available when it comes to treating the animal, he basically cannot treat the animal. Kisheshem Rafa Acher, Dilo. Because if there's no other veterinarian except for him, and the person's animal is sick, Shari L'Rapesa, the person would be allowed as the veterinarian to treat his animal. D'Atanan, because he learned in the Mishnah before, Mach Sevedaso, even if a person is muta hanoah from you, which means he's lost to have hanoah from you, I can return the person's lost object to him, whether it's live or dead. Ve'ein lo hashav gedolim mizu, and healing an animal that's about to die is surely a great form of hashav saveda. So if that's the case, why can't I treat his animal? The answer is, there's another veterinarian available to treat the animal, so it's not an incumbency upon me to do hashav saveda. The Ran is medayik. If I, however, was the only vet around, there's no question I can treat, and therefore it's only when there's another vet. Elavadik Yeshev Acherskinim, Fafil Hachi, Merape Rafuas HaNefesh. So the obvious question is, if there's another doctor or vet available, why is it that by the animal I'm told I can't treat? If there's another doctor, let me tell the other guy, since he asked a benedda to me, to have enough from me as a doctor, so go to the other doctor. Dina gufa lefi shalom, and akadam zachalas rapais, v'achi isa b'Yerushalmi. The Ran interprets and brings down over here a Talmud Yerushalmi that's quoted by all the Rishonim on the topic of Refua. And that is the concept, when it comes to doctors, Chazal believe in the concept of Bashert. It's Bashert who Hashem ordained to be your doctor to merapi you, and it's predicated upon an entire sug, if you want to look it up, Rabbi Yisai, in Mesechtes Avodah Zarah, on Nunhei Amabez, where the Gemara says, Hashem is Koveya when the sickness begins, and when Hashem wants the sickness to end. Hashem's Koveya, who is the doctor that's been authorized to treat you? HaKadosh Baruch authorizes which medicine is available that's going to accomplish the actual refuos. So this is set up in Shemayim. If Hashem wants you to be cured, he's going to put at your disposal the right doctor who was given the mission to do such, the right medical treatment that to accomplish the specific mission. So he says that's based upon the concept that when it comes to refuos, it's a concept of a mazel bashert, who your doctor is. And therefore, if you go to the wrong doctor, you might not get a refuah because he wasn't the one given the shlichus to do their actual ripui. If there's going to be a refuah, you didn't basically get the right guy. Now, what's interesting is this concept mazal and bashert applies to your refuahs. It doesn't apply to your veterinarian. There's no such thing as mazalos when it comes to the bashert of the veterinarians. So therefore, if there's another vet available, either it's going to cure or not cure, it's irrelevant who the vet is, as long as they know what they're doing. But when it comes to you, their knowledge base is not sufficient, their degree and their expertise is not sufficient, you have to feel a certain regesh, that's the guy for me. Now, how do you know who the basher is? How do you know who you're going to marry? There's a certain regesh you have, the panimi, that says, that's the girl for me. This is the doctor I feel comfortable with. That's an inner regesh. Chazal say that therefore is an indication, and that's why Halacha points out, and the Ramban brings this down, if you go to a doctor and the doctor says, I don't want to treat you, go to somebody else. You can argue with the doctor, if Hashem gives him, and say, if I didn't feel that you're the right guy, I wouldn't come to you. You're my basher. You have no right to turn me down and tell me there's another doctor, because that guy is not the one who was assigned to heal me. You were. So Chazal play with this very seriously when it comes to this issue.
But
what's
the other way around?
What?
Maybe the doctors feel that he is not the appropriate.
Zaytos, the regish was given to the patient, not to the doctor. Nobody ever fixes it in the other direction over here. So Benkach lo Benkach, Rabbi Isai. What the Ran teaches us, quite fascinating in this sugya, is the refuah sanefesh, that the patient wants you to treat him, even though you're a muda hanah from the doctor. You can't have any hanah from the doctor, since treating medically is a mitzvah. If that's the case, that allows you to treat him, because mitzvahs lav lehenes nitna. So therefore, halach lamasa, he can treat you, even though there are other doctors, but you want to basher the doctor. When it comes to a vet, halach lamasa, whoever the vet is, that other vet should treat. You shouldn't be involved in this activity. So, but I have a question for you. And that is the question posed by the Rush. Is this doctor who's treating you, does he take a fee or not? Okay? If the chayla is the person that has an isa hanah from the doctor, and even with the bashet and all the maislech, if you basically are going to allow the chayla not to pay you because I'm doing l'shem mitzvah, you're giving the chayla who's a muda hanah a monetary benefit. He doesn't have to pay. So the Rush says, if he accepts a fee, you're mechuyev to pay him to allow him to treat you. Otherwise, you're violating the Isa Neda. The Gemara is talking about a case where the doctor, for some reason, was a rich man. He never charged for his medical services because he held ma'ani b'chinim afatah b'chinim, like by Talmud Torah, and he didn't need schar batala for the purposes of parnasa, so he didn't charge for his services. But if he charged for his service, the Rush says explicitly, he would halach lamasa have to basically, technically speaking, allow you to pay to take away the problem or abayisai of anisa hanok coming from him to you. That's number one. Number two, there's a very important question over here. And that is the following question. What are we worried about? There's an isa hanok. If the chola is us to have enough from the doctor, so can he treat him nevertheless? So the mitzvah, refuah, like any other mitzvah, puts the hana that he's getting from him on the side. The way the Gemara phrased it today when it came to Bika Cholem, you're being Isaac as a mitzvah, as a doctor, as a mavaker. That's what you're Isaac in. The hana he gets, the person who's getting the beaker or the refuah, is a mamela, comes minatzad. So over here the post can point out, if that's what these are saying, we'll see very shortly, the medicine the doctor uses can't be his own medical formulas, because if he's giving it to you, he's being mahani. So it has to be medicine that you bought, and he basically takes the medicine that belongs to the chayla and treats him with the medicine. It can't belong to the doctor, can't be the doctor's medicine. That's number one. Number two, frektari shrein megavata kakasha. What are you worried about? You're worried about an iser hana of the chayla from the doctor. So we have a big problem. The problem is the Gemara says in Masechtas Pesachim that when you're dealing with the case refuah b'kuach nefesh, it's docha all isurim of the Torah except for three, except for avodah zarah, gila arayis, ushvichas damim, isa of nena b'rabbanah. When it comes to nedarim, surely is not in that category. So if the chayla is, like you asked this morning, is a chayla of yesh by pekuach nefesh, what is the Gemara talking about? And enech anami, the Paskim say over here, our Gemara is not dealing with the refuah upon a person who's in a state of pekuach nefesh. Because if a state of pekuach nefesh, it would be doch all the surim, and surely the surim of neder, not only could the doctor treat you, but the fact of the matter is he can use his own medical equipment, whatever, or supplies, because in that case, any isa neder that supplies over here is not applicable under pekuach nefesh. Our sugya, since it makes all of these chilukim, is dealing with a person who's sick, is not a cholash yesh basakana, he's aimed by sakana, and that's why the pekuach nefesh doesn't kick him. But anachanami, as you mentioned this morning, if he was in a state of pekuach nefesh, the discussion I'm having now with you would not be halachically applicable. Now, let me go back to the Ran. The Ran says over here, when it comes to a veterinarian treating your animal, the fact of the matter is, If there's another vet available, you got to use the other vet. There's no bashert when it comes to veterinarians. So you'll ask the question, besides the fact there's no bashert, but is there a mitzvah to, as a vet, to be involved in treating animals? Is there a mitzvah deraisa? Now, when it comes to human beings, the concept of rapi rapi, there's a mitzvah before mentioned explicitly. Or hashivaisla, we'll see another pasuk, hashavas avedas aguf. When it comes to serving as a vet to treat animals, is there a specific mitzvah to medically treat them? So I want to quote you a Rush. The Rush says the following. The Rush says, when it comes to treating an animal, he says, loy mitzvah ka'avit, there's no specific mitzvah when it comes to treating animals medicinally. And if that's the case, if there's no mitzvah, the automatic treatment of an animal upon which is the isa ned to have an off from you as a doctor, as a vet, kicks in. And even if there's no scar, even if the vet is a nice guy, he never charges for service being rendered, nevertheless, it's usur. And we don't consider it as if you're being machzer aveda to the balabas. Why? The Chazal never said there's a mitzvah to treat berfua, the behema of your friend. The mitzvah refuah applies to you treating medically humanity as human beings. Now, what's interesting is us taking care of the needs of animals, but teres refuah doesn't come but teres rapi rapi. It comes from other psukim. Basically, the concept of the yisod of tzar bal chaim deraisa, or the concept of rachim of al kamasa of halachta b'darach of emulating Hakadosh Baruch Hu in his midas teivais, but as a mitzvah, as a din refuah, there's no veterinary mitzvah a refuah like you have a mitzvah of when it comes to refuahs of human beings upon human beings. But I want to stop a minute and go vayt with the Ran. You'll see why I'm doing this with you. So the Ran says over here, but I can suggest, if I can't treat the animal, upon which there's an isano of the bailim, I can nevertheless give directions where medicine can be used to treat the animal. So Zok the Ran on this concept, you have a marmakamas. Give him marmakamas, otherwise, even with Torah Shavapeh, you got to see this inside. Right now, it's okay, but you know. If you're sitting here anyway, you might as well have the full complement of what's available. So it says over here, Imam Samploni Yafila Samploni Ralo, the Chavin de Iu La Yav Husamala, since the veterinarian is not giving the actual medicine, Shari, Dhanama Melasya. I'm just giving him information. The fact that he's treating the animal with this medicine is considered an incidental activity. He's not directly involved. And therefore, from here we learn, the Ran says, the berefuas gufo, when it comes to the refuah of my body, I feel some hasam biyada shari. Once the doctor has had to treat me, he can take the medicine with his hand and put it directly on my body. When it comes to the vet, where there's a isahana over here, he can describe, tell other people what to do, but he can't be physically involved in the manipulation with the medicine. Midavka shahu mishal muda. But only you're using medicines that belong to the person who's muda hana. Avo mishal mada. But the doctor, lo. Because even in the case where the mudahana is allowed to accept the refuos, because mitzvah ka'avid, but if I would use as the doctor in non-life-threatening cases, I would use my medicine to treat him, it'd be considered mayad liyad, usur. That's also under the problem of him being also teres neder to be nener. Kehi demuda no mechavero, where we haven't got to that sugya. The boy shenich agabi asela. If I'm out in a wilderness, I got food, and the guy with me doesn't have anything to eat, and he's a muda hanor for me. I can't give him directly. I'm mafke the food on a stone. Let him take it itself. So miyad liyad the rabbi says I'm not allowed. I'll eat him miyad liyado mamish. Kamosh kasafti lamayla umiu. He's going on today's sugya. How did the chola become muda bahana? The two possibilities. The rofe, the madr, made of asa bahana, or for some strange reason, the chola had some aggravating relationship with the doctor, so he was the madir upon himself that he should be a mudahana from the doctor. So says the Ran, there's a big nafkamina. If the doctor is the one who superimposed the iser of mudahana upon the chayla, he had no reservations when it comes to what he asered, and therefore there's no choice that the medicines from this doctor can't be used directly to merape when it comes to violation of neder. But when the chola asked the doctor, if he's the madu and the muda simultaneously, we learned in today's sugya that under those circumstances, the doctor's allowed to treat, or the beak is allowed to take place, because when he made the ned, he never had a mind, if my life's in danger or I have sickness, whatever, I should bite my nose to spite my face, that the mavaka can't come to take care of me. Or in this case, the doctor should be able to come to take care of me, even utilizing his medicines. That's today's daf. So if that's the case, the svara of exclusion in the Eastern Ned that you're creating, there's an umdin of the Baal Dava, who will basically be hurting himself to make it an all extent of Eastern Neder. This escape clause exists by Bika Cholim, he says, it would exist by the case of the fool as well. The reason Asugya doesn't use this, because Asugya is referring to where the Cholim was given the Eastern of Mudanah by the Madir, the person who's the Rofe, and that's why you don't have that option. So we see from the sugya, Rabbi, says something quite interesting, and that is halach lamasa, that there is a chilah between the veterinarian and between a roife. But then I found something quite interesting, and that is we're dealing over here with the assumption that the doctor and the vet were giving the services for gratis, as I mentioned before. I also taught you that if, in fact, the minig is for the doctor to take pay, that the chayla would have to pay the doctor, that he shouldn't benefit from the mechilas chov of the medical treatment. The Ritva says if that's the case, even by the veterinarian case, the vet's a nice guy, he never charges. But if your animal's sick, even if there's another doctor available, if you say to the vet, I want you to treat, but I'm going to pay you for your services rendered, which means I don't want to have any hanah, and the proof is you don't take money, but I'm going to pay you, so there's no hanah coming because I'm not paying you, which nobody else does. The Ritva held in that case, the vet could even treat your animals, because over here, you basically eliminated any hanah whatsoever by having to pay money, which nobody else does. So that aggravated a cause of everybody else, therefore nullifies the hanah that might be accruing to you by the fact that he's treating your animal. So this is the sugya, Rabbi. It's a fascinating sugya. Halach lamasik, but obviously we see the ramifications, but there's one problem. There's a blowout Rabbi Kiva Eig over here. Rabbi Kiva Eig says, in the Ran's lumdis of why halach lamasa, if there's no other vet available, I'm able to treat the animal because it becomes a din of hashavas aveda, a din of mitzvah where there are other vets available, so it's not hashavas aveda. So he says there's no mitzvah fu when it comes to treating a person's animal. But if you're the only vet available, so the Ran says if that's the case, Ein lecha, it comes under Hashavas Avedas Aguf, and therefore this vet can treat your animal. So the question is the dimya between Hashavas Haveda and treating the animal on par to say that if you don't have another vet, it falls under Hashavas Aveda? The Ran held it is. But when I read with you now, Rabbi Kiva Eger inside, that's not too happy with that dimya. Rabbi Kiva Eger, Rabbi Yisai, is basically what you see B in the text, Gilui Nashas, on the left-hand side. You got to see this in Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, look inside, he says, right by the Gilui Nashas, Timehani, he says, I have the following bewilderment. Im ein hatam shum mitzvah, if you're saying there's no mitzvah specifically to merape the animal, reshor lehenais, ela mishum, denosun lo eshalo, umaner rak lacherim litlo. So he says, what is the hanah when it comes to hashavas aveda? The hanah is that I'm basically giving the animal back to him. If I give the animal back to the person, say I'm lost animal, I'm giving the animal back, what am I doing? I'm giving back an animal that really belonged to him initially. So if I'm giving an animal who, quite obviously, was lost from its master, and that person is a mudanah for me, I'm returning an object to him that basically belonged to him. I'm not really giving anything of any major substance, and it's the mitzvah that allows me to do such, go back inside. The only thing I'm doing is preventing other people from stealing the amu, and therefore comes under what the Gemara called Mavriach Ari. Like Hanan, I'm preventing a hefsir from taking place in this context. For Amikri Mahananenu, there's the Shayech Ba'aveda, this Shayech by a lost object, the Ashavasu Eino Majbiach. I'm not enhancing the value of the object I'm returning, I'm just preventing it from being lost. I'm preventing others from taking it away. But over here, when I have a sick animal who's sick, and who knows what's going to happen to the animal's physical kayach and energy at the end of my day, that comes to the animal of a hocha b'hemto, chola, what I'm doing, Rabbi Yisai, is enhancing the essence and the quality of nechasim that are basically naturally withering away. I'm coming now and basically enhancing the object, giving it strength and kaychas and energy to continue. I'm causing, therefore, shvach in what I'm returning to this person. And therefore, if that's the case, atav mimafata behemto asar is even worse than feeding a person's animals who's also b'hanot to you, where the Gemara says, sisya mashbich, and causing a pitum, it's asar. So here, it's more than just giving the animal food. You're literally making the animal survive, so he wants to claim the hanoah you have over here, when it comes to Hashavas Aveda, is not the actual yisod to justify the vet treating the animal, because this is more than Hashavas Aveda. Hashavas Aveda is the concept of preventing a hefsin, mavriach ari, other people taking it away. But beguf the animal, there's no intrinsic enhancement taking place. Rav Kivega says, when it comes for you doing a refu as a vet on the animal, you're not just causing the prevention of a loss, but there's an intrinsic enhancement of what you're doing by the surgery and the medical care, making this animal, like giving it another life, so to speak. He is not so sure that therefore, when it comes to the person who's mudhanah, that's covered by the Yisod HaShavas Aveda. So you have a machlokes therefore between the Rami Tzad Echad and Rav Kivega Tzad Sheni, where the HaShavas Aveda is a gavaltik gedimyon for the purposes, quite obviously, when it comes to quite obviously taking care of the animal, when it comes to curing that animal from sickness, quite obviously the Ran felt it is a good dimyon. Rav Kivega basically felt halach lamasa, it is not a good dimyon. And as I pointed out to you, alza mitzvah a refuah of the animal, what's pelam ployim, is the fact that at the end of the day, there's no mitzvah a refuah behema per se. It comes under other broad guidelines of other, the concept of tzav alachayim deraisa, or the concept of rachma klamasav, halach de beracha, following the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But since there's no direct mitzvah, you can't say the treatment of the animal is a mitzvah, etc., etc. This is the sugya, quite interesting, fascinating. The Rush points out something quite else. The Gemara says you can give eitzes of what medicines to use, but you can't treat it. So Zog the Rush, that's assuming that this person doesn't charge the consultation fee for talking about what medicines you can use or not. If this is a type of vet that even giving consultation and medicines, he charges a fee. If he does, if you want to have the consultation without paying the fee, you're violating the Issa Neder. So to get that consult, you would have to pay the fee. It shouldn't be a freebie to violate the Neder. So these four lines of Gemara, Rabbi Yisai, I mean, a normal Daf Yomi, you can't talk it out like this, but we have time tonight. These four lines just show you how intricate these sugis are, and besides knowing who's us and who's mutter, even when you define it, you have all these intricacies. But I want to show you something fascinating. With this in mind, Rabbi Yisai, I want you to see something else over here. Turn to page number 2. When it comes to the mitzvah of even treating a human being, when it comes to refuahs, there are multiple makaris in Shas that deal with this concept. On page number 2, quotation 2a, you have the famous brisa of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says, Rabbi Yerabe, because Shinitin Rishis L'Rofil Rabbis, the doctor has the mandate, the mitzvah, to practice medicine. And the Ramban says, not only does he have a right to Rishus, but he calls the Rishus to mitzvah, he has a chiv to practice medicine. And it comes under the rubric of Pekuach Nefesh when it comes to understanding it's a chiv to practice medicine, not only a divine permissibility. That's the sugya on page 2. Turn to page number 3. On page number 3, we have a sugya in Sanhedrin on Daf Ayin Gimel, quotation 3b, where the Gemara has the following question: Gufa, Menayin l'roya es chaveru shutaveya benar. You see a person drowning in the river, or chayigarato, or a wild animal about to drag this person away, or you listen Barlov, he's about to be mugged by a bunch of robbers. So shuchayev l'hatzila, if you have the capacity to save the person from drowning, we have the capacity to save him from these animals, or to save him from these robbers, how do you know you're chayv to do such? Tama leimar, leisamay adam riacha. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? There's not only a leisa say, there's a mitzvah say. And what's the mitzvah say? Aveda's gufa menayim. How do you know when it comes to Hashavas Aveda? Not only is the mitzvah to return a lost object to a person, but to return a person's body to that person, a body that's about to be destroyed. Would he know the mitzvah to return it? Tamalayma, Hashav Yisalau. Hashavas HaGuf is part of the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. So the Gemara says, so why do we need to psukim? Imahasim hava mehamamina benafshe. Avamitrach ameger agure emula kamashmula. I need to psukim for the following reason. Hashivaisala means avachiv, if I'm able to do the refuah, or in this case the hatzala myself, I'm supposed to do such. How do I know if I can't do it myself, I have a chiv to hire other people to do it instead of me? The asay would not give me that chiv. But the lois asay, where there's a chiyuv of giving away kol mamono, you shouldn't violate a law, that would say I'm therefore obligated to use my money to hire people to save him if I can't do it myself. Of course, later on you can go back to the person after the salvation and say, pay me back. But the fact of the matter is, we have therefore another makar for hatzalos nefashos. This is important. The pasuk hashev vayisala would apply not only to non-medical hatzalos, but even to medical hatzalos. The Pasuk Rapi deals exclusively with medical refuahs. So the question arises, if that's the case, halacha lamasa, what do I need both psukim for? It seems to be duplicative, if I'm making myself clear. So the answer to this question, Rabbi Isai, I found on page number 5, in a Likud of Bali Tesis on the Torah called the Moshe of Zakenim. It's a nice name to call these Gedolim, Moshe of Zakenim. So the Moshe of Zakenim, I mean, I have a whole sefer called Moshe of Zakenim on the Chumash, these are the Likutim of the Balei Tesis. I don't know if they would be happy that that's what the sefer was called. But in quotation 5a, the Mefarish over here quotes this problem. Perish Rasha and Rapi Rape, she's the original Rapi Rapes, and he says, however, Bahachoyvel, it says over there, etc. He then says, he asks a very simple question. Why do I need two psukim to teach me the same exact yesod of saving human life? The fact of the matter is, if I have Hashavaisalah, that's telling me I can save human life, whether medically or non-medically. Once I have that pasuk, which is a klalistic pasuk, rapi rapi seems to be quite extraneous. So you'll tell me maybe I need rapi rapi because of the purposes of theological permissibility to prevent gezeres hamokum of the person being destroyed. The fact of the matter is Hashem Vosel accomplishes the same exact thing, because maybe it was Barshet the person should die drowning. Maybe it was Barshet he should be mugged and mauled. But the fact that Teres Hashem Vosel I'm supposed to intervene means there's a theological permissibility brought into that pasuk, even independent Rapi Rapi. So Chazak Kasha L'duchta, what do I need the second pasuk for? So comes along the Baal HaTesis, this is the famous Rab Chaim HaKayim, that word you might kill him through mashke and sam. What's the answer that he gives? So this is a very deep answer. What Rav Chaim HaKohen says is, you know why I can't use the pasuk of Hashem Vayisalah to teach me the concept of refuos? It's because there's a chiddush when it comes to refuos that I don't have in non-medical hatzalos. What's the chiddush? When I'm involved in non-medical hatzalos of a person who's in a state of endangerment, I'm jumping into the yam to save them. I'm jumping in front of the animals to pull them away. I'm jumping in front of the marauders over here, the muggers, to push them away to save this guy. My hatzalah of the person who's in the state of being hurt is not in any more danger before my attempt to be matzalim or during the time of being matzalim. He's drowning whether I help him or not, and me jumping in to help him is not going to make him more endangered. Me jumping in to save him from the wild animals is not going to make him more endangered. Me jumping in to save him from the animals is not going to make the person who's being endangered any more endangered. Who's being endangered? The matzel. I'm putting myself in danger. So the fact is, halacha lamasa, I would have said, where the matzel is not putting the person who he's saving into any more endangerment, the Torah gives you a hetashe vayisalala sama to apply. But when I'm treating a person medically, whether I'm giving them a dangerous surgical procedure to treat them, I'm putting them under general anesthesia, I'm going to basically do a major surgical procedure, open heart surgery, or some other body organ. That putting that patient under that surgery momentarily, especially if you're dealing over here with having to put the heart in a stop movement, put it in a stationary movement, and put the person on a machine to take care of the circulation of the blood and everything else as the heart's being operated upon. So the fact of the matter is, I'm putting the cholam momentarily in a greater level of sakana than they were because of the actual machla. Who gave me the right to endanger the cholam more than he is because I want to marape him? Or I'm treating this person who's dying with cancer with chemotherapy or radioactive therapy. Every chemo, if you read the labels, and every radioactive, if you read the labels, they say very openly, the stuff we're giving you could kill you. So who gives me the right, if a person has a cancer, to give them chemo that can make them die quicker than the actual machla? Or radioactive therapy that, how many people Nebuchadnezzar killed? Because he didn't gauge it properly or went to the wrong location. Who gave me the right to do a thing like that? Hashivaisullah surely doesn't accomplish that. So Zakrab Chaim, that's the pshat of the Gemara in Baba Kama. What's the Gemara in Baba Kama say? Rapi Yerape, Mikan Shenitin Rishus L'Rafa L'Rapis. It always bothered me, if it's a Chayves HaMitzvah, what do you mean Nitin Rishus? Yesh Chiv L'Rapis. What's the Lashon of the Gemara? Mikan Shenitin Rishus L'Rafa L'Rapis. So Zok Rab Chaim, this is what the Gemara Baba Kama is adding to the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And that is, what's the rishus? That the doctor has a right in his medical protocol, if it's a refuah beduka, tried and tested and approved by the FDA, as dangerous as it might be, based upon his medical expertise and stats, I'm allowed to put the patient under that added endangerment to cure them, because that is what Rapi has. Hashem gave rishus for a rofe to use his medical knowledge and his medical talents and his expertise and the equipment to marap him, even though momentarily putting in the guy or gal into greater endangerment during the process of refuah. That's a special divine dispensation up and above the chiv of to be matzah nefashes. So therefore, according to Chaim HaKayin, the Gemara Baba Kama really supplements the pasuk of Hashivaisullah, giving a doctor a medical hatzala greater leniencies and flexibility than a normal matzil, a normal paramedic, or a person who's involved in just simple hatzala is not capable or allowed to do. And that is to use all different types of fancy medical phenomena that exist, surgeries and medicines and everything else, which momentarily put the chol in greater sakana. Rapi Rapi, Hashem says, I'm in control of you, I'm giving you the human right to heal, I'm giving you a rishus as a doctor to use the scientific knowledge you have as a refuah beduka up and above the normal mandate of Hatzalas Nefashos that's derived from Hashem Vaisalah and Lo Samayt. The Gemara Baba Kama, if it adds to something that the Gemara in Masechtas Sanhedrin would not teach us. So this is how the Pesukim complement each other. What? Experimental treatments, the fact of the matter is, if it's not a refuah beduka and your life is at stake, you cannot use them.
Right.
Now, I'll be a little more intellectually honest with you, doctor. Doctor, you asked a good question, but to really be intellectually honest on the level that I like to be with my chabur over here, it's really a machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam, based upon a perish of a sugya mesechtes Yoma, of what's considered what's called a refuah beduka. One thing's for sure, for you to be able to use medical treatment when a patient's life is in danger, you must use what the Gemara calls a mesechtes Yoma, a refuah beduka. Now, what is classified as a refuah beduka? So believe it or not, there's a machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam in what that term means. According to Rashi, it means a tried, tested medical procedure that's been proved by the authorities, has statistical validity, and therefore the FDA approved it as just an example. So tried and tested medical procedures are a refuah beduka. Therefore that excludes, according to Rashi, any type of what we call potential treatments that are experimental in nature, and have not proved their efficacy, according to Rashi, I could not endanger the life using those types of refuahs. That shittas Rashi without a question. I do, however, want to mention to you that the Rambam has a leniency over here. Rambam was a doctor, Rashi was not a doctor. Rashi was a winemaker. The Rambam was a doctor. The Rambam says, I want to expand the parameters. In the mind of the Rambam, if I am a scientist, I'm a doctor, I understand medicine, and there is a medicinal capacity that I see developing that hasn't been tried and tested and proven and hasn't been approved by the FDA, but based upon medical science and based upon logic and based upon my medical experience, I have every reason to believe that this might do the job, even though it hasn't been proven and ultimately given the sanctity of being approved by the FDA, but it has every seichel yasha medically to work and I have no other choice. The Rambam would call that also refuah beduka and allow it to be used. And therefore, according to the Rambam, a trial type of medicine as a seichel and a logic, whatever, even though it doesn't have the track record, it doesn't have the final approval of the FDA, might be used. Why am I saying this? Because a lot of the chemotherapy today, you have, you know, level one, level two, number three, when it comes to the trials and tests. So I'm not talking about using something that's never been used before, making a person a guinea pig, but something's already been proven on some level, but it hasn't been validated. And then if you have to go to clinical trials to reach a certain level of sophistication, according to the Rambam's approach, you could probably use those trials, two and three, whatever it might be. You can't be the first guinea pig.
According to the difference between the patient and the doctor, could a patient say, I'm willing to accept?
No. According to the Rashi, the mechilas patient or the doctor are irrelevant. It's objective. When it comes to the Rambam, it's also objective, which means both of them have to acquiesce to be willing to do this. The doctor can't force it on the patient, nor can the patient force on the doctor to do it if the doctor feels there's no medical logic behind it. But I'm saying when it comes to using, therefore, trials in the world of chemotherapy, the Rambam is relied upon, if you want to use those trials, according to Rashi, it would have to be an FDA-approved drug already in its final stage, or else you would have complications. Now, I'm not holding at the end of the Shia. There's one thing I want to show you that's very problematic. You therefore have two Makairos that most French and German Balletesis use, even Spanish Balletesis, to dealing with the concept of Rapi Rapi and Hashavaisawa. Believe it or not, the exception to this rule is the Rambam, the doctor. When it came to the Makar for practicing medicine, the Makar to allow doctors to do what they have to do medically, or to be matzal nefashos, the Rambam only quotes one pasuk. And that pasuk I'm going to show you very shortly is the pasuk Hashivaisalah. The Rambam never, in any of his works, ever quotes the Maim Chazal, Rapi Rapi, Mikan Shinitin Rishus L'Refil Rapais. So Beferish Gemara Baba Kama, the Rambam, who was a Baki B'chola Terekula, never quotes that Maim Chazal. The Rambam does quote Rapi Rapi when it comes to one area. When it comes to the Chiv of the five Tashlumim, a person whose mazah b'chaver has to play, that's the psukim and pashim mishpatim, ha'ilach ha'mishanta, rapi agape. So the Rambam says, you have a chiyuv, besides playing sheves and nezek and kedaymer, you got to pay for the doctor bills, rapi agape. But he never quotes the Maamar Chazal, mikan shenitin rishus l'rapis, which if you think about it, is a pela pelayim. I mean, he's a doctor. How can he do without that makar, especially after what I mentioned over here? That there's a special therapeutic protocol need for that pasuk, was tut the Rambam over here. Now, how do I know the Rambam doesn't use the other pasuk? Besides the fact he doesn't quote it, turn to page number 6. On page number 6, on the Mishnah we learned today in Masechtas Nedarim, and the Gemara we analyzed with Shabbos Daf on Mem Aleph Amar Aleph, it talks about Refuas HaNefesh and Refuas HaGuf. So I want to show you the Rambam. The Rambam says, where it says in quotation B, you see where my fingers are by your side, it says B, and there's a line and there's an asterisk over here. So Zot the Rambam, what's the Refuas HaNefesh? Shirapa, so you marapa the person. Refuas Mamen, Shirapa Behemta, which was the maskon of today's sugya. You can't, when it comes to being a vet, you can't do it with your hand, but you can give information. When it comes to curing the person, that's a mitzvah. The mitzvah b'matzah nefashos comes from Hashivos Allah, and that's mechayvi, whether you can save the person with your physical body, jumping in the water to schlep him out, or mamonu to hire other people to matzah instead, or yidiyasa means you're a doctor, you have chachmas and medicine. They all come under one pasuk, Hashivos Allah. That's the makar of the mitzvah of medical and non-medical hatzalas. So everybody has the question, Zorachin Gadol, Vus tut the Rambam with Rabbi Rabbi? It's a $1 million question. So what I want to share with you tonight is the $1 million teretz given by one of the biggest gedolim in the field of medical ethics, the one who really created the field, and that is the Rabbi Dr. Ward Kukovitz. In his famous thesis he wrote, when it came to his PhD, he wrote the first thesis on Jewish medical ethics, which became, you know, a object of adornment throughout all the years. I mean, all the guys who write books on medical ethics, they don't want to admit it. They first look with Jacobowitz, and then they build upon it. But Jacobowitz, Rav Jacobowitz, was bothered tremendously by this. And what he says, you'll see very shortly, is simply brilliant. The way you resolve a Rambam in the world of Brisk is you find another Rambam. I mean, that's what Brisk is doing. You know, the Stir is a Rambam, so you know, Yeraman's Bachishin Zuzu, Yoram Shlish Lachribane. That's the Marav Salvage. My Rebbe used to be very now in the world of Brisk as Aram and Doram and Doz Astira. He had to bring a third Rabbi to Machriya. What Rabbi do we bring over to Machriya this question? So turn to the last page. A very far-fetched source that most of us wouldn't even think of using, but you have to be bucky like Jacobowitz to know the literature, and once you know what he shows you now, you're going to say, why didn't I think of it? He goes to a far-fetched Mishnah in Masechtas Pesachim, dealing with the famous Melech Tzadik Chizki HaMelech, where the Mishnah says that there are three things that he did that Chazal were moda he was correct. There are other things they did, three things they did Chazal criticized them on. What are the three things that he did? Chazal said Shkayech to him. Gir Atzmas Aviv Amita Shachavalam. When his father died, who was a Melech Rasha, and he caused Klaus worship of Avodah Zarah, he gave his father a very, very disrespectful funeral. And Chazal said Shkayech for what you did. You're showing Klaus Yisrael cover malchus he didn't deserve. The next thing he did was Kites Nachash and Achayshis, the Halak and Nachash Achayshis, we read about in the Torah, we're going to read in the Torah, that Klal Yisrael was saying Kitter against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He inflicted it with Nachash and Achayshis. What did he do? In his day, he saw that people started to worship this, made of a Nazar. So he took an item that was preserved in their museum for eternity, because when you looked at Nachash and Achayshis, it cured you from the snake bites, it was a mamish, a davish, a chidush, an es. He literally pulverized it to show you, says gunish begunish, that when misrap it, not because of the nechash choshes, it was because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's interesting, nechash choshes became the simulator of the medical society, you know, the snake.
The snake.
Now, what was the third thing he did? This is the part. He was gana sefer refuos. There was a book of refuos, and he put it into Geniza, and they said, shkayach. So the Rambam on this Mishnah says in an Arichus that there's a Kabbalah he heard from others that this Sefer Refuos is the famous Sefer Refuos that was written by Shlomo HaMelech. When Shlomo asked to have knowledge, Hashem gave him knowledge. He was the biggest Chacham on the face of this earth. Not only Chacham, it's a Torah. Every secular science and medicine and whatever existed out there, he became the greatest God in the world when it came to secular sciences of Tev and such. So the Chazal tell us part of his Chachma was he wrote a book on medicine, that when you took these medicines or these cures or these procedures, you were definitely cured. So the Rambam said he heard on this mission of Perish that he cannot be Seifel. What did he hear? That the Sefer of Fuos that supposedly Chizkiah held was the famous Sefer of Shlomo HaMelech. So if it was such a gavaldik a Sefer, why in the world should the Mishnah say, what did he do with it?
Gonzo.
He didn't destroy it, he just put it in Gedizi, he took it out of circulation. If this was a viable medical treatise, why in the world should he prevent people from being cured from it? So they supposedly said, and some attribute this to the Ramban, but the Ramban lived afterwards, there must have been some before the Ramban who said this. And what did they say? When people had the Sefer Refuos, it was such a guaranteed refuah. They never daven to Hashem anymore. They didn't ask Hashem to be merape. By them, you go to the medical book, you take the refuah, you guarantee the refuah. Shlomo Yitzchak was so brilliant, he was magala masa bereshis. So people never, when they were sick, ever went to Hashem to ask for refuah. Nefesh was a goof. Never made mishaberech, never praised the Tehillim. They used the Sefer Refuos, so they detached Hashem from the process of refuah, being involved behind the scenes. Ani Hashem Rafech, therefore, became a nullity. So if that's the case, he felt as he wanted to bring his generation back to faith in Hashem, to take it out of circulation, not make it so easily available. People should pray to God, B'teches and Refuos. And maybe then he would allow them to go into the room to see what the Sefer says, as a way of countering this apikursis of making refuahs totally dependent upon the medicine of the book and not Hashem being involved at all. That's what you heard people said the pshat of this Mishnah is. So the Rambam does something he normally doesn't do, and he admits to it. He says, if that pshat was not rendered over here, but another pshat was given that I didn't feel was so sacrilegious, I would have kept quiet. But for anybody to think that that's what Chizkiah did and that's what he was reacting to, he says he's never heard of such a stupid, foolish pshat and such a thing ever stated. And he says very openly the reason for saying that. But before I get to the reason for saying that, so what is the Sefer Refuos according to the Rambam? The Sefer Refuos according to the Rambam, as he explains in his Perish Mishnayos over here, was a book of historical record that somebody wrote as an historian, medical historian, on third world refuos that exist in the world for thousands of years by different types of third world countries and by medicine men, as an historical novel, how people used to cure disease, whether they succeeded or not. It was never meant to be used as a medical treatise to treat people, but some foolish people went into the library. They thought that if it worked for thousands of years, they tried it on people in their generation, and people were dying left and right because this is not meant as a viable medical treatise. So therefore the Rambam said, why did they put it into Geniza? Because since people were using this not as an historical treat, a book novel to read, but using it as a medical manual, people being killed and harmed, he felt it's a pekuach nefesh, you got to put it into Geniza, you can't give people access to it. So he says, that's why Chizkiah did it, not because of the reason that they were afraid that people were not relying upon Hashem and relying upon the medical treatise. So Zog the Rambam, now coming to the Iker. So the Rambam says in his Perish Mishnayos, so why am I so upset to think that he would be gain as a Sefer Refuos because people are not relying upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he says, I want to ask you a question. If people don't believe that Hashem is the source of your nourishment in this world, and Mamachnish Kain Barachis, and a person starving, hungry for food, because they don't want to make brachas and they don't want to give acquiescence and Hashem, you mean to say you're going to starve them to death? You're not going to give them food to eat? Of course you're going to give them food to eat. You might give them a miss of musa shmuz afterwards, that the food comes from Hashem, but you're not going to deprive them. Eating food is a natural phenomenon of human existence. As soon as Adam and Chava were created, Hashem gave them their diet. You can eat from here, you can eat from there. I mean, when human beings, especially Jews, come in the face of this earth, gastrointestinal needs are mentioned immediately. Hashem did it, we came to Adam and Chava. So if that's the case, it is incomprehensible when it comes to a person who might not be the most religious person, you shouldn't feed them when they're hungry, despite the lack of spirituality. So Zog the Rambam, giving a person medicine to cure themselves is as natural as eating food. And the same way you wouldn't deny food from a person who's hungry, you wouldn't deny medicine for a person who needs the medical care, because when Hashem created the world with a bria, He created the world with nutrients for our body's maintenance. Refuah is to cure illnesses we have. It's part of natural law. It's available, and you're mechuyev to use natural law to save ourselves. And if that's the case, halacha lamasa, even if the people are not making brachas, not saying mishaber sekedaymer, you are mechuyev to give them the medicine the same way you're supposed to give them food if they're hungry, because taking medicine is as natural as eating food. So zokt this Rav Jacobowitz, if that's the case, if that's the hashkafas Rambam, we now understand why the Rambam didn't need the makar and Maseches Bava Kamma. If you're talking about medicine being as natural as eating food, and therefore giving a person medical treatment is as natural as eating food, as the Rambam claims, what is the meaning of the pasuk Rapi Rapi Mekashim Rishus L'Refa L'Rapas? As if giving refuos is something that's special and unique, you need divine sanction. You don't need divine sanction. The fact He gave man this physical debris and told him, Kibush Oilim, he's supposed to conquer the world and use its natural resources for nourishment and for physical, technical reasons. Once Hashem gave us the world, we're entitled to use it for any purpose we want. So therefore, the concept of using medicine is as natural as eating food, I don't need the Gemara in Masechtas Bava Kamma, that the Rebbe has the right to use refuah for the purpose of refuah. If you claim it's as natural and comes under the divine mandate of eating food and having benefit from the natural universe, that Gemara for the Rambam hashgafically becomes totally extraneous and necessary. And the chiddush of the Rambam is, by him there's no nafkimina whether it's a refuah that doesn't endanger your life, even if it endangers your life. If that's part of the medical science of Kibush Olam, it's part of the het of Kibush Olam, and I don't need a special gzeres hakasiv. So the only pasuk you needed was, is hashivayisulot, there's the chiva, people who have the knowledge and the keich, the energy, they're mechuyev to intervene, and even risk their lives momentarily on a moment to save your life. That's you need the pasuk. But when it comes to taking medicine, no matter what the medicine might be, there was no need of that gzeres hakasiv, and that's why Rabbi Jacobus of Rambam Lishitaso held that way, and that's why the Rambam was able to come to his conclusion. You have to be brilliant to know the Rambam over there to apply it over here, but that's the way he deals with it. Quite obviously, the other Rishon, the German and French Balatheists, claim taking medicine is not as natural as eating food. Therefore, if it's a special phenomenon, a special unique phenomenon, especially if it endangers you, you need a special gzeres hakasav to be matter it. So this is the stadistic of machlokes between the Rambam and between the other Balatheists and Rishonim, whether eating food and medicine are hainu hach. The Rambam said yes, the other Rishonim say no, and that determines whether Gemara Bava Kamma is needed or not in the permissibility of taking medicine.
Thank you for joining us at benstorah.com.